Hey, what's up? It's Avery here. Well, I guess who else would it be? It is my own show. You see, my show is on platforms like iTunes and Spotify, and you may wonder, how do I get my show on these platforms? Well, I do it through an app called Anchor. It's free to download, and you can use it on your phone or on your laptop. And it also comes with creation tools that let you edit your show. You can also make that sweet moolah with your podcast with no minimum listenership. So, want to get started? Download the Anchor app on the Google Play Store or Apple's App Store, or go to anchor.fm. It's that easy. Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome back to Avery Sports Show. And my next guest is a very, very, very funny dude. It is Brand. He's combined curling, teaching, podcasting, stand-up comedy into a nice little brand. It is John Cullen, who right now is on a comedy tour, Rocky Mountain Comedy Tour. He's done shows in Whistler, Calgary, and he'll be in my hometown, Edmonton, next week. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Cullen the Comic. He's also the host of, well, co-host, well, the most important host of Real Good Show on SoundCloud. It's John Cullen. John, how are you doing today, buddy? Welcome to Avery Sports Show.
Oh, man. Thank you very much for having me. I am doing great. My brand is strong. Thank you for saying things about my brand. very nice of you. And, I'm very happy to be on the show. Thank you.
John, it's fair to call you our modern-day Bo Jackson, right? Because curling, podcasting, and comedy are the exact same as playing pro football and pro baseball, right?
Yeah, I'm basically like Bo Jackson, and he was average at all of the stuff that he did.
Well, that's selling yourself short. That's a great way to get people out to the comedy shows in Calgary, Edmonton. I'm average at stuff. Oh my gosh, that's funny. I know you mentioned you've been in comedy for a while. I gotta ask you, John. Comedians, I know a good buddy of mine is a comedian down in America. You may know the name Earl Skakel. And comedians, comedians are, it's a tough life. What is it like going across Canada, especially what is it like going across Western Canada doing shows in BC and Alberta? Because I'm sure there's some days where you're like, oh, what city am I in? And then you have to go out and be funny every single night for so many days in a row.
Mm-hmm. I also teach high school, so for other guys who they do it all year, it's maybe a little bit more comfortable for them. You know, I kind of only do tours a couple times a year, and so it's really nice, actually. I like it because it's kind of a time where I can actually just sort of be focused on comedy, and that's the only thing that I'm doing, and it's fun to be kind of doing shows every night. But yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of touring sitting around and waiting for the shows. So that's where it gets really difficult, you know, is that you're kind of just, you're sitting in your hotel room or you're wherever you're staying, like, all day, and then you kind of get to the show, and then it's sort of like, yeah, you got to flip the switch and you got to be able to be good, right away. So that's definitely a challenge, but yeah, it's really fun. And I always enjoy, like, Canada's a great place to do comedy, so I almost always have a great time.
You've also done that just for laughs, and of course, people know comedy. Just for Laughs is like the sports club of the Stanley Cup Finals. Just for Laughs is where everybody wants to be at. Like, imagine going to Montreal. What's it like going to Montreal and doing that? Because that's the show where, you know, that's the pinnacle. If you are Just for Laughs, you've made it to an extent, you could say.
Yeah.
You made it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I think it's definitely, especially for a Canadian comedian, I think it's something that you dream of doing when you start doing comedy. And it's crazy. it's nuts. Like, you have all these comedians from all over the world, and it's just, you know, yeah, there's so many shows, so many parties, the fun part of it is getting to see all the shows, you know, because you go and in the height of the festival, there's like upwards of 50 shows a night. So, you know, you'll have your own couple shows, and then it's really fun to be able to go out and check out other shows. And just being in Montreal during that whole thing, like they shut down the city square and they have this like big kind of outdoor festival thing that parents bring their kids to, and it's like, it's really like, you really feel that the whole city is like embracing the comedy festival when you're there. So it's just really cool to be a part of, and obviously, yeah, getting to perform is super fun, but just getting to go to like three or four shows a night of like comedians that you love and respect, and also discovering new comedians, it's a blast. So yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be there the last two summers, and I've had an amazing time both times.
Talking to you, with one person there, you know, you were just in complete awe of, like, you couldn't talk to them, you're just stunned they were there in Montreal with you at all, John?
But this year, Blake Griffin was there.
Oh, that's right.
He does comedy stuff in LA, and he's been doing that for a while. And I actually heard from the lady who books Just for Laughs, who's a friend of mine as well, that he was the one who asked. So like, he kind of got in touch with Just for Laughs and was sort of like, hey, like I would kind of love coming to your festival. And they were like, yeah, okay, sure. Two shows, like whatever. So it was kind of crazy because he was actually like, he was a super, super cool guy. Like he came to all the after parties. And like normally when you have people that do that are really big, they don't really come to the parties, you know. Like the first year I was there, like Dave Chappelle was there and Mike Myers, guys like that. And like they would come. There's one really, really big party on the Friday night of the festival that like everybody goes to. But other than that, like, you know, they don't really show up at any of the other stuff. So even if there's these huge names playing the festival, you don't always see them just, like, hanging around. Whereas Blake was, like, every single night he was at the parties. And, like, I feel bad for him because he's 6'10". So,
yeah.
Like, it's not hard. You know, you just have to take a quick scan of the room and you can be like, oh, there's Blake Griffin. Like, it's not like he can really blend in. So he was kind of, it was pretty funny because a lot of people, and so I went up on the last night, and my girlfriend at the time really wanted to meet him, and I, you know, we went to see a show, and he was hilarious, so I went up and talked to him, and I wasn't starstruck, but that was definitely a moment of like, okay, I'm at a comedy festival, at an after party that only VIPs are like invited to, like people that are playing the festival, and I'm just casually talking to Blake Griffin. Like, it was just one of those like very weird moments for like a guy whose life is really not that big of a deal. It was just very like crazy sort of thing. So that was probably the closest that I came to that.
Wow, that is awesome. But please tell me, John, he's a flat Earth guy, is he? Please tell me he's not.
I don't think there's any way Blake Griffin would be a flat Earth guy. He's like a pretty smart dude, but who knows? I mean, the NBA, it seems like this is something that the players are clearly caught together and talked.
I do not. Just the whole thing to me makes no sense, because you would think after all these years, someone would have found an edge, or someone would have seen someone falling off the earth to prove it's flat. Like, I don't get where this is coming from now, and it baffles me, John.
Well, and like also, like I'm sure you're, you know, we're kind of talking about this because of Shaq yesterday,
mm-hmm.
saying that, like, and like his things make no sense. Like, he's like, why I drive from New York to California? It's not like I go up any 360-degree hill. Like, what are you talking about? What do you think this is? Like, just so he's like, it's flat. It's flat the whole time I drive there. It's like, wait, what? Like, that doesn't mean it's not flat, first of all. Second of all, like, it's just so confusing. Like, the reasons that these guys have for, like, why they think the earth might be flat is just,
no, it didn't make any sense. And Draymond Green made me angry because Draymond was saying, if the world is rotating, why are we not flying off? Dude, gravity! You learned that in like grade 2! Like, we're not on a soccer ball.
Exactly.
Like,
I know, it's so bizarre. I don't get it at all.
No, I don't. I know you mentioned you're also in curling. I'm sure there's no flat earth guys in curling, is there? You've been curling for quite some time. You came from Ontario to BC, and in curling, you have done really well. A sport where it's funny because curling is such a prevalent sport in Canada, but on your podcast, Real Good Show, it is the basis for so many jokes, which I find so funny on your show, the curling talk. You bring it up, John.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I've been curling for 18 years, and first of all, I will say that I would not be surprised if there are flat earth people in curling. if you look at like the three biggest curling provinces are like Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba.
Yes.
So, I mean, you got guys that have been living on farms their whole life. Their life is curling in the winter and slow pitch in the summer. So it would not surprise me at all if there were a few curlers that also believe the earth was flat. But I think for the most part, they're pretty solid. And then as far as Real Good Show goes, it's kind of funny, I think, to be able to sort of bring my experience as a curler to the podcast, especially because we have so many American listeners. I get a real kick out of that, where we kind of end up going down these curling rabbit holes sometimes, and I can just feel, 80% of our listeners having no idea what we're talking about.
And of course, your podcast, Real Good Show, you finish up episode 83. It's hosted by yourself, Justin Morissette, and Stefan Heck. Now, I've known Stefan on Twitter for a while. I followed him because his Twitter profile picture used to be of Grizzlies great Bryant Reeves. And anyone who has a Vancouver Grizzlies legend as a profile picture is a must follow in my eyes. And what got me hooked on the show was, I think, episode 66. We guys were debating, could an NBA player jump high enough to dunk his own ass? I was on the floor crying laughing at that.
Yeah, we've got, I'm not going to lie to you, Avery, many of our listeners are deeply troubled, and they send us these questions, and I'm like, I have no idea where they came from, but yeah, it's pretty hilarious, like on a weekly basis. I mean, that's why we had to create bonus episodes where we were doing, where we do just mailbag questions, because we get so many insane and ridiculous questions every week that like we just couldn't cram them all into regular episodes. So it's been a really fun thing to do. It's kind of crazy how much the podcast has grown and how big and wide ranging our audience is, as you can tell from the crazy questions that we get. And it's been a good time. Your story is very similar to most people, because Stefan has like 80,000 Twitter followers. A lot of like, I follow that guy on Twitter, like for sure. It's been nice to have someone that's on the show that has a big following already. And I think it's been good for him too, because before that, no one really kind of knew who he was. As you said, he had Bryant Reeves as his Twitter profile picture for a long time, and now he has kind of this like sketch of the Unabomber that also sort of looks like him. That's why he has it. It's like this weird thing where he was kind of anonymous for a long time, even though he was gaining all these followers and all these like really famous followers and stuff too. Like the people that follow Stefan, it's crazy. So I think it was good for him too, because then people started to get to see a side of him of like, oh wow, yeah, this is like a real guy. I mean, he's just like a regular, like normal dude who just happens to be insanely good at Twitter.
And people who hear Real Good Show, they may think, oh, it's a bunch of yahoos. But no, you guys all have experience in media somewhat. I know Justin himself is a commentator for the BCHL Hockey League. You guys are not just amateurs. You have all some experience in broadcasting or some media form.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's kind of why our show works. I mean, you don't see too many podcasts that have three regular hosts, where there's, pretty much every episode, the three of us are there. Making it happen, and I think it's, yeah, because we come from all those different backgrounds, but we all have performative kind of backgrounds. Justin, as you said, has the background in radio. He's a classically trained radio man. He went to BCIT and their famous radio broadcasting program, and like you said, he worked for hockey teams, and he works for one of the main radio stations in Vancouver right now, and he's just trying to get back on air. He's just on-air role there, and then I'm obviously
No, of course. And of course, the fact that you're being a podcast, you can be liberal, of course. Real good show. If you haven't heard it before, a fair warning. The show has a lot of profanity in it. So if you have kids, you know, err on the side of caution, which makes it even funnier because with Real Good Show, you guys are sponsoring a Little League baseball team in Vancouver, which is, like, if parents listen to the show, they would know that you guys should not be allowed anywhere near children of any sort of any kind at all. Dream would be if Real Good Show Baseball Club makes it to Little League World Series, and you got and the show name is being announced on ABC and ESPN, and I can imagine the walk-up song will be the Thank You Donor song, which at the end has you guys screaming out F your parents over on the soundboard, which would be great to hear on US TV as a walk-up song for every player. Be hilarious. Of course, with Real Good Show, you guys have had on so many guests. You've had on Graham Wright from Tokyo Police Club. You've had on Jeff Fayette, another good buddy of mine. You've had on Kyle Wellwood, the former NHL player. That was one to me. I thought, like, I didn't think Kyle Wellwood would want to do a podcast, but it's funny because you had him on the podcast, and the picture on your side of Real Good Show is infamous. Kyle Wellwood is kind of fat picture. Has his profile pic on the website, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. So coaching and all that kind of stuff. So she has, you know, pretty good connections in the music industry. That's how we've ended up with guys like Max Kerman and Nick Dyka from the Arkells and Ewan Curry from the Sheepdogs. And Graham Wright is actually a friend of mine, so that kind of worked out. I went to elementary school with Tokyo Police Club.
Okay.
So
really?
I know what they are. Yeah, he's like, I know what they are, but he's like, I don't really, he's like, I don't have time. I have a 5-year-old son, and I don't really, like, he's like, I don't have time to listen to podcasts. And he's like, yeah, I just, you know, he's like, but I, he's like, it's nice to get out of the house. That's what he said. He's like, you know, yeah, I got my kid, and he's like, you know, my kid goes to bed at like 7, and then, you know, me and my wife just kind of sit around, and we don't really do a whole lot. He's like, it's kind of nice to get out of the house and hang out with some guys and whatever. And so, yeah, he was awesome.
It's so funny. That's so funny, John. I know with the podcast, it's real good shows. It's taken off. I mean, you have over 100,000 downloads. Like, what's it like seeing your show being ranked in iTunes? Because when your show is ranked in iTunes, you're getting traction from Canada, in America, and even European listeners as well, too. I am, yes.
$100.
Whoa.
And he was paid $100 just so that we would open something on the show that he thought would be funny. Like, all, so stuff like that is just is crazy, you know? That's the part that really gets you. All the listening numbers and all that kind of stuff is all awesome. It's all great. But, you know, when you get that, when you get that additional, like, kind of diehard fandom, that's when it really, I think, feels special.
No, of course. It's so cool. Like you mentioned, it's a true community of Real Good Show listeners. And before I let you go, John, I do want to ask you, you know, of course, you're the one Ontario guy on Real Good Show. You're a Maple Leafs fan. And myself, being an Oilers guy, it's good seeing both teams finally not being trash as they make way up the standings. It's great. What was it like, you know, as a Leafs fan, seeing that Austin Matthews is playing so well? And Matthews, he's changing the game. He's a Mexican-American from Arizona leading the Maple Leafs, you know, like they drew it up. Like they always predicted what happened one day in hockey.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm sure you know. You follow me on, you know, you guys have the same thing with McDavid. Mm-hmm. I think in that, you know, insanely skilled player, also super likable person.
Yes.
You know, I think McDavid, I think, is maybe a little bit more sanitized in the sense of, like, you know, he's got that kind of Crosby thing where he's been a huge star since he was like 14, you know, since he was like 13, 14 years old, people were like, well, this guy's going to be the next Crosby or the next Gretzky or whatever. So I think Connor's maybe a little bit more media trained, maybe a little bit more, you know, kind of boring, if you will, but still seems like a really nice kid and really down to earth. And I think Austin is the same, except he doesn't quite have the same kind of, like, I think we're going to see Austin really cut loose. I think he's still young. He's a rookie. He's kind of keeping it tight, I think, you know.
Yeah.
So I think in the next couple of years, you're really going to see, like, the Mexican-American and Matthews come out, you know. I think you're going to see that sort of outlandish personality once he gets a little more comfortable with Toronto and everything. I think it's going to be great. And like you say, it's just so nice to have your team not suck. I mean, it's been so long, man. It's been so long. Like, I think I read a tweet where it said that if the Oilers and Leafs both make the playoffs, it'll be the first time that they were in the playoffs together since 2002-03.
Wow. Like, that was a whole different league back then.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like, I don't even know if I can name more than five players that were on the Leafs in 2002-03. Like, it's just, I was graduating high school then, like, it feels like forever ago. It's just, like you say, it's so exciting, and it's really cool to see the fan base get a little bit re-energized, and the Leafs in particular. I watch a little bit of the Oilers as well, and I think it's sort of the same. The Leafs also just play a great game to watch. You know, the young guys are all super talented, and they play a high-skill, high-speed game, and it makes the game so enjoyable to take in. So.
No, it's true, and that team's being carried right now by the younger players. They're seeing the great play from Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, someone who I covered, right? I used to cover the Marlies. I saw a lot of William Nylander, and you knew he's going to be great in the NHL one day, and he's showing that. And it's funny because I know Jeffler, he said it himself, but the old guys are dragging this team down. And aside from Bozak and Kadri, he's right in that. In how many seconds, John, would hockey Twitter implode with an Edmonton-Toronto Cup final?
Oh, absolutely. Seven seconds, maybe. I don't know. But it would be unreal. And I would probably go to almost every... Like, I've always said that if the Leafs make the Stanley Cup final, I will be on the first plane back to Toronto. Like, there's no way I'm not going to be in the city with the Stanley Cup finals going on. And then if they were playing Edmonton, even better. I'll be at the game. No question about it. Fantastic. That's great.
Nice. Okay, no, tonight you're at Broken City in Calgary, and then on the 22nd of March, you're at the Oak Tree Tavern, also in Calgary, and then the 23rd, 24th, 25th, you're in Edmonton, first at the Black Dog, and then at Yuck Yucks. I won't be able to be there, but my friends who listen to Real Good Show, they'll all be down there to cheer you on all night long, John. Awesome, John. It's been a blast. Thank you for doing every sports show, but I appreciate this, pal, so much. I appreciate coming on to the podcast.
Happy to come on and talk shit about the Oilers.
All right, thanks, John. Good to hear, bud.